even computer anything for college.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I had it was when MySpace was a thing. So it's funny that we talked about
Talking about Tom.
Tom from MySpace. It was my first time I got exposed to designing my own thing in a sense because you can edit your MySpace backgrounds when you edit HTML there. So I wanted to add this cool marquee thing with a plane to show that I like traveling. I don't know. It was it's just middle school, high school. Yeah, I don't know, middle school Sarah, I think it was.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Grizz Griswold of Finos. Hope you're doing well. I'm in New York City today. We are in Times Square. From right here, my guest and I can see the Empire State Building and the New Year's Eve ball in Times Square from the BMO offices. And my guest today is Sarah Khalife from GitHub. Say hi.
Hey, everybody.
Sarah and I are hanging out at a hackathon. And are you judging? I can't remember.
I am not judging at the hackathon.
You probably should, though.
I probably should have judged, but I am unfortunately flying out earlier.
I
have to leave in a few hours just to fly back.
Oh, that's cool. So let's... I want to talk to you about GitHub. I want to talk to you about, you know, open source and financial services. But first, I want to talk to you about you.
Okay.
All right. Can you tell us what you do at GitHub, and I'd like to go in, like, how you got here.
Yes. That's a great question. I'm currently a solutions engineer at GitHub, which what that really means is I go and work with customers to help them figure out what are the benefits of them using GitHub, what are their benefits for their developers to use GitHub, how do we do a certain thing on GitHub? How do we do this to make sure that our developers are more productive? How do we do this to make sure our business is more productive? And that's pretty much my day-to-day job. Like, that is what I go talk to customers, work with them, figure out design, demo, and have conversations just like these, just to find the better way to, you know, make sure that the customer's happy with whatever we provide from GitHub.
Cool. And so, but you weren't always with GitHub.
I was not. Previously, so I actually joined GitHub from a customer's of GitHub. So I was at a customer, and then I joined coming in and figuring out that solutions engineering was a role. But before that, I was a software engineer. I did a lot of back-end microservice cloud platform development, developed on Cloud Foundry, did a lot of Spring Boot for those that do Spring Boot out there, which I'm sure it's a very, very big big project for many people, especially at financial services or even big corporations. But I was at GE. I was at General Electric, and we built out our cloud platform there. We used a lot of microservices, 12-factor apps. When Kubernetes became a little bit of a bigger thing, we built out our Kubernetes clusters for microservices. And then I found out what I was doing there, even though I loved software engineering, what I was doing there most of my time that I really enjoyed is telling people best practices. Why should we even do Git branching? People that did infrastructure never even used GitHub in the first place. So I came into this like cloud platform team that we started their first like pull request processes. I helped them build that out. And then from just talking about best practices around GitHub and CI/CD with like Git operations of sorts, we then ran into conversations like, okay, how do we, what are some best practices on deploying Kubernetes? What are some best practices on deploying applications on top of Kubernetes? And it just became a whole DevOps ecosystem of things that I was doing outside of my day-to-day actual job. And then I ended up finding GitHub as a place where the people there were talking to their customers with these types of conversations, and solutions engineers came to our company and demoed, and I'm like, oh my god, this is a real job. Is this something I can do and get paid to do? Oh my god, I was doing this as a software engineer, let alone can I do this as my day job every day? So I got really excited and, Yeah, and I applied for the role. Mm-hmm. Never did sales, never did solutions engineering, but I tried it out, and here we are today, 3.5 years later.
Right, and you've like spoken at some of our conferences and been around this community, and so, you know, like,
yep.
And you know, your talks, I know, because we actually review talks and things like that, they have been well received, and you know, so. You're doing something right.
I'm enjoying it. So I think that's what makes it right.
Right.
At the end of the day, I think if you're having fun and you find value in what you're doing, therefore making it more fun, I think it makes sense to do it and continue doing it. But yeah, you're right. I think I submitted a couple talks at Finos, mm-hmm. and that's how actually I didn't know GitHub was a sponsor for Finos.
Oh, right.
I just stumbled upon this Finos thing, and I submitted my first talk in collaboration with Microsoft, with Leo Hungera, who he built out this hackathon for like improving the way that people are thinking about tech and autism.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all around financial institutions helping out building out these applications and.
Right.
Open sourcing these projects through a hackathon all around focused on autism.
Right, and that was also with Morgan Stanley, Peter Smolovic.
Yes.
Yep.
And that hackathon just happened last week.
Yep.
That's how I got introduced to this community outside of working with financial services.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got introduced into Finos. That's how I got introduced with the Finos tight-knit community here. So that's how where it all started with the Finos team.
That's pretty cool. And then here we are now at another hackathon.
Yeah.
But we'll come to that in a second. But let's go further back. Let's do backward in your developer journey and everything. So before GE, you know, were there other jobs or was it training or what, you know, how'd you get into this in the first place?
That's a good question. Before GE, I was in college actually. So mm-hmm. I interned at several other companies. I did computer engineering undergrad, mm-hmm. thinking I loved computer engineering, thinking that's what I wanted to do as a career, which is a great place to start, obviously.
I'm glad you said that because that's what my son's doing. So next year, so.
Oh.
Yay.
Honestly. No, not however. Actually, I think it's a great major.
Uh-huh.
You get engineering understanding. You get computer science understanding.
Yeah.
You get a mix of the like interoperability of core engineering, mechanical thought processes in my mind to a more abstract computer science theory mix of things.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it, but I think it's just such a great major to do. So congrats to your son. It's a fun one. You can take it in so many different directions.
Yeah.
A lot of people went more electrical route. I went more computer and computer design route.
Right.
I ended up doing none of that anyway, but the knowledge I learned from there made it much more easier for me to go and talk to a customer or I guess a company like GE.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I would go there, I would say, hey, like, I understand a lot of these things because that's what I studied in college.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm helping here to help more so build the applications to do a lot of these things. So taking that abstract layer out. So I wouldn't have been able to do that without taking computer engineering undergrad.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was your first computer?
Wait, did
you play video? Do you play video games? Did you play video games?
I did not. My parents did not let me.
I was about to ask what was your first video game, because then you can actually figure out anyway by the different systems. But what was the first type of computer?
To be honest, I can't remember. So I was in Cyprus, and I would say it was I was born and I lived in Cyprus. Not that it was like further back in the sense of like education, but computer accessibility, where everybody had a computer that they could easily access, which is not a thing just yet.
Okay.
So my mom was in the U.S., so she sent me a laptop, and it was probably a Windows laptop. Could I remember what version of Windows?
Mm-hmm.
I barely remember it, but it was probably like 99 or 2000
I got. And
yeah, it was something earlier on, and that was the first time I guess, had something that I could consider I could play with this computer. Because we had computers at school, but they were like the older PCs, and the only thing you were allowed to do on them was to learn how to type,
right?
You know, and maybe play some pinball.
Which is awesome.
Yes, yeah. I still love that. But yeah, it was, I would say maybe it's like 2000 is when I first got my first laptop.
That's cool.
That was my personal computer for me.
That's awesome.
But how I ended up thinking about even computer anything for college, honestly, I had a, it was when MySpace was a thing. So it's funny that we talked about a little bit.
Talking about Tom.
Tom from MySpace. Yeah. It was my first time I got exposed to designing my own thing in a sense, because you can edit your MySpace backgrounds when you edit HTML there. So I wanted to add this cool marquee thing with a plane to show that I like traveling. I don't know. It was, it's just middle school, high school. Yeah. I don't know, middle school Sarah, I think it was at that time. And it was, I mean, it was my exposure to saying, oh, I've touched code in my middle school, high school years.
Yeah.
But in reality, I didn't. Like, it was HTML. I mean, HTML is a sense of code.
It's real code, folks.
It is.
All you web people, it's okay.
Yeah. But building an application was like a whole thing that I never even got exposed to till pretty much my first internship.
Yeah.
Even in college, you don't really build apps. You build functions that do something, but it's not building an app that needs to be maintained and needs to survive anything that you throw at it.
Right.
So it was, I mean, yeah, anyway, my first time I got exposed to code, quote unquote, was my MySpace backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I really coded something was actually freshman year of college.
Oh.
I did not, my school did not have anything outside of that. So, yeah.
I mean, I had the Logos little turtle that, in fifth grade, that you could move it up and left and right. So that's how far I'm going back. Oh, anyway, so cool. So now that's awesome on middle school and high school and college, Sarah.
Yeah.
So open source and financial services, and you know, that seems to be one of your areas within GitHub that you focus on.
Yes.
So, you know, again, we're at a hackathon, you know, yesterday and today, and it's all about, you know, literally taking open source projects and doing what to them?
Yes. I guess expanding them, making them scalable, making them standardized, I think, is the goal of open source in general.
Mm-hmm.
It really, when we talk about financial services, I mean, just a lot of, majority of my customers the last couple of years have been financial services.
Right.
I have a lot of other customers as well. So I learned from some of the other customers that aren't as regulated. So I see how things move a little bit differently there.
Yes.
Versus regulated customers where it's like very, and I actually have a variety. I have regulated customers that are so strict that do not allow their developers to go beyond their scope.
Right.
Like, they are not allowed to touch anything but what they're scoped to, which is very different when you come and talk about open source. Because open source, it's literally try everything out. If you want to go check this out, why not? Go, if you don't know how to develop on this specific application, at least add something to the documentation. Make a change into the script. Maybe add a component that you felt that was missing in the first place.
Yeah.
So that's, it's just a it's a contrasting experience there from a developer's perspective. So when we talk about open source and financial services, it's really thinking through not only the types of projects, but what are some of the cultural benefits that you'll see from this.
Mm-hmm.
Developers will feel more, I would say, in my experience so far.
Yeah.
When you have open source and developers are contributing, they're proud of that contribution.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they're contributing to something beyond, outside of their job in a sense. It might be part of their job to do open source, but contributing to open source allows you to feel that you're contributing back to the community in its own way, right? We talk about volunteering. Volunteering is definitely like a very great thing, and a lot of companies enforce that in their actual, like, you know, days off. Here, one of the days off this quarter, maybe take a volunteer day.
Right.
What I've seen very successfully being done is companies that want to allow some open source to happen, they need to kind of promote it from top down. Mm-hmm. But also there has to be developers that are willing to be the champions to kind of show and standardize the way that they're doing it. So we have a couple of champions that are very passionate, kind of have an idea of what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that are wanting to contribute to open source, but don't know how, don't know where to start, don't know how to get there. And then there's the company saying, okay, it's okay. You can all spend like maybe 10%, 20%, mm-hmm. even 30% of your time contributing to open source. And that's really what I think fields a really good community.
Yeah. Have you seen that change since? So you started in 2019 with GitHub, right?
Yes, 2019.
So, and I don't know if you had financial services people or customers back then, but...
I did, yeah.
Okay, so have you seen any changes, you know, and obviously we won't talk about specific companies, yes. but I mean, just in general, the feel maybe even of the industry then versus, you know, 4 years later.
Yeah, I would say significant changes in terms of compliance not being in the way of, like, agility. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of financial institutions and just overarching large corporations, which is what the financial institutions I'm working with are, yeah. large corporations, they are seeing the value that open source will contribute back to their internal,
yeah.
processes and practices. And then it also helps them attract more talent. It helps them attract talent that is already working with projects maybe that they're already using.
Yeah.
So since 2019, a lot of the customers I had weren't even talking about cloud, first of all. So they couldn't even allow developers to touch anything on GitHub.com.
Right.
But now we have conversations around cloud all the time, let alone everything beyond cloud.
Right, yeah.
We could talk about that afterwards if we have time. But
yeah.
Since 2019, a lot more of the customers that I have are talking about how do we create an open source culture.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not going to be a more open one where it's like you can contribute at any point in time,
yeah.
it's at least we need to have a process to allow for individuals to request to contribute to open source. One of my customers, when I first joined at GitHub, we did like a maintainer's day with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that maintainer's day allowed us to really talk through what does it mean to be a maintainer of a project, but also how do we get started for those that don't know how to get started with open source.
That's cool.
And it was a fruitful event. We had some GitHub swag, so everybody loves fun GitHub stickers, yes, shirts, and everything. Yeah. We had some free food, so we got a lot of developers to come in.
Of course.
But people loved all the topics that we talked about, just the concept of being able to collaborate with multiple teams,
mm-hmm.
and the way that you need to standardize so you do have a healthy open source project.
Yeah.
And since then, they have grown their open source team year over year, where now it's, they have like an awards program, a best practices program, and they, you know, congratulate people when they contribute to open source.
That's pretty cool.
They incentivize, they make it more fun. So that in itself, just over the last couple of years, has been a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I've seen is going back to volunteer days. I've seen customers where they take some of their volunteer days that are required for their organizations, mm-hmm. and contributing back to open source as one of the volunteer days.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's instead of thinking of it as a open source program that they have, which means more long term, means more established.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of customers don't have that yet.
All right.
So they build out these ideas of, okay, at least contribute one of the days that you're working throughout this 365 days of the year, say, hey, let's volunteer to contribute to open source during this time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if it's not like back to a project that directly affects financial services, if it's back to, you know, like a mainline project of, you know, something in JavaScript or something in Kubernetes itself, yep, and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. That it still holds value for probably what they're doing, you know, wait, upline, downline.
Upstream.
Upstream, downstream. Yeah. My developer days are a little bit past. Well, cool. I would love to also, you know, we've just got a couple of minutes, but We obviously this year, and some of it's come from ChatGPT, but then like, you know, we you know, with Copilot from GitHub and everything. I don't want to go all the way into it, but like, are you seeing this as, you know, generative AI as being like the next? I'm starting to see it as a little bit more next frontier, but like the frontier is quickly approaching.
Yeah, I wouldn't see it's next frontier. It's the we're at the tip of the iceberg of, and it's already started. I think even most of my regulated customers that I have are talking about Copilot. And they're not necessarily all talking about ChatGPT because it doesn't sit with the code. It's a different purpose, a different you know, different style of thinking around security and legal. But specifically, Copilot has been a massive, massive conversation in every single customer that I have. And even financial services that are super regulated, they're asking about how do we get this approved so we can start using it tomorrow? Or even how can we get this approved so we could have started using it yesterday?
I got you. Making sure it's still going. It's here and
It's gonna be here. It's only gonna be getting bigger and bigger. Actually, I had a really good. We did a panel. Well, I did a panel at one of my customer sites with others that were participating from Microsoft, Walmart, Google. Like there were a bunch of people from the panel. It was virtual, so it's easy to bring all these people together. But one of the stakes that was put out there, generative AI will change the way we do inner source. And I thought that was an interesting stake because I didn't think of it just changing the way we do inner source. I think inner source is more of a cultural thing. Same with open source. It's a cultural mindset in a sense. I think generative AI is just going to change the way we're developing and thinking and managing. It's not going to change the cultural aspects. It's just going to make those cultural aspects achieved a little bit easier or a little bit harder or a little bit faster. But the cultural aspects around it, open source and inner sourcing and just thinking through a collaborative and being collaborative across, you know, multiple teams, multiple companies is only going to get, I think, easier with generative AI. You can standardize things a lot easier. But we could go on and on and talk about this.
So the middle school Sarahs that are out there right now are going to have an entirely different experience than than middle school Sarah had.
I think I didn't even know about the concept, honestly, till more so like the last like few months that Copilot has grown across my customers. But prompt engineering.
Whole new field.
A whole new field. And I feel like that's something like middle schoolers will pick up. And go with it.
Probably faster than we will.
So it's scary. But awesome.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little bit. And I'm happy that this was your first podcast ever. Cool. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And with that, I'm going to say thank you to Sarah and thank you to everybody out there in internet land. And with that, I'm going to say good day, good night, wherever you are.
Have a good one.